Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Jan O'Cohen, an Alexander Technique teacher in Philadelphia. She's been teaching for almost 25 years. She works with a wide variety of students. In addition to being an Alexander teacher, Jano has taught Tai Chi. She also had worked for many years as a massage therapist. She is a dancer. She spent 10 years playing the violin and piano. She's kind of done everything, and recently she's become inspired to do some work, some projects that involve photography. And we're going to talk a little bit about how the Alexander Technique helped her with those projects. Jano, welcome to the show.
Hello, Robert. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. So, Jano, could you start by just giving our listeners a very short description of the Alexander Technique?
Alexander Technique is a method for people to use to learn to become aware of their movement habits mm-hmm. and their tension patterns and change those if they choose. A teacher uses touch and movement coaching to help you sense what you're doing with your body and then make other choices so that you move with better control and centering, breathing, flow of movement, and use of your body.
Yeah, and it has applications to a wide range of activities, everything from performing to performing arts to injury recovery to back pain, all sorts of things. I have to say I have never read or heard anyone talk about it in relation to photography. So this will be a very interesting conversation. How did you get into becoming a photographer after all those other things that you've been doing?
Well, I think I always had a passion for photography. I bought a camera when I was very young and used it for a short period. But just recently, I guess as I got older and could no longer dance, I was missing that creative avenue for myself. And I decided it was time, and I bought a fancy camera and some other equipment and took a quick course. And before I knew it, I was sent on my way to photograph dancers here in Philadelphia and then young children learning dance in Rwanda. And I'm wanting to use my photography to help people in the world advance their cause, whatever it is. And so I'm at their service. And in the meantime, I'm learning as I go. I do not carry heavy equipment yet. I have to develop some arm strength. But nonetheless, any equipment that you hold up for long is strenuous. So I have been forced to apply my principles of Alexander Technique to lifting the camera up to my face without hunching down, which is really what's common. Often when we're wanting to photograph something, we get drawn to the object of the photograph and pull the camera down towards the object, and our heads go down into our necks, our shoulders go up by our ears, and we cramp down into our legs. So with the help of some of my friends who are teachers, they reminded me to lengthen my spine, lead with my head, and keep my back back, and this really enhanced my ability to photograph for longer periods of time. Some projects require photographing for hours on end. I was photographing in Rwanda from 8 in the morning until 5 at night. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would sit, sometimes I would stand, sometimes get down on the ground. So I needed to pay attention to how I was doing, you know, sitting or standing in order to enhance my ability to hold the camera.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've noticed in looking at sort of amateur photographers a lot, that when someone holds up a camera to take a picture of someone else or an object, they do sometimes the exact opposite of the pattern that you mentioned, that kind of pulling themselves into the subject. They'll actually kind of arch their backs and pull their upper body way back in an attempt to, I guess, widen the screen, the view on their camera, instead of taking a step back to do that. Have you noticed that?
Well, yes, I think what happens when you know what image you're trying to get. So instead of thinking with your feet, you just think with the camera. So you back the camera up. Some of the lenses allow you to zoom very easily, and other ones are not as they don't have as much zoom, so you actually have to move yourself in order to get the right size of your subject in the frame. So yes, instead of using your feet, you could just lean back, and that, of course, can lead to back pain. So it's really not wise. What happens when you're doing an activity like photography is you get engrossed in your subject and you forget about yourself. So the most important principle of the Alexander technique is to pay attention to yourself and use your sense of your body's movement for all of your activities. And this really prevents those kinds of strains with photography. And once you realize that you're a whole body in motion, you keep that in your awareness, that really changes how you shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a little bit of an analogy to using a computer screen, for example, or even reading a book. There's kind of a temptation to get absorbed in that external stimulus, and you end up literally being drawn into it in a way that is not particularly healthy for you, because almost always that's going to involve some excess contraction of muscles somewhere in you, whether you're pulling into a computer screen or pushing your head into it, or as you describe with a camera, kind of the camera leading you down and forward and down to whatever if you're photographing something at a lower height than yourself, or the opposite that I mentioned earlier, kind of pulling away to get the right screen size. Just in general, I think they're all examples of your work, which you could say is a focusing kind of work. You're focusing on something outside yourself, taking over and not, and kind of taking you away from the you who's doing the focusing. Yeah, and it's I and when you described those days of shooting in Rwanda, 8, 10 hours a day, whatever, you're having to put yourself in odd positions, kneeling, bending, sitting, whatever. There's a whole physical stamina aspect to that too, right?
And the better use of yourself is to not tense up. Your muscles are actually stronger for longer if you're not tense. And the other thing about that is, if you can learn to move your joints properly, you can bend without wear and tear. If you excessively bend your knees without bending them properly at where the joints are and without your spine lengthening up and away from them, you can do damage. And the other thing is that I feel that the you that is the photographer needs to be aware of space around you, in order to learn where to shoot and learn how to pay attention where your subjects are moving. I mean, I do a lot of dance photography, and so it's very unpredictable, where especially when you're photographing children, you need to be prepared for sudden and changeable movement. So you need to be aware of space. Now, when you're all crunched down into a camera lens, you can't possibly pay attention to the space around you. So the lengthening up and away and opening your body up and paying attention to movement opens you up to the space, and especially, of course, if you decide to pay attention to it, and it makes you able to move more quickly to the changes that happen, because our joints, when they're open and ready to move, can move more quickly. And that's really terrific for photography.
Yeah, I think that's something that may not be appreciated by our, maybe worth emphasizing that it's not just that you're scrunching yourself and possibly putting your likely putting undue pressure on your body. But that when that pressure is there, it's much trickier to move. Your any movement you make is likely to be have a jerkier quality, not be as smooth. And I suppose also you could be risking injury if you're trying to move within a framework of a lot of excess tension.
Absolutely. And about that injury, I know a photographer who's been working in the field for many years, and he did not pay attention to how he was moving. And he had a very slumped down posture for many, many years. He just went for back surgery because he had really compressed his spine to such an extent that the nerve became wrapped around his spine. And those are the kind of injuries that you really want to prevent.
And I think we should probably mention that the work you've been doing in Rwanda and with filming dancers and so on is in the context of you yourself having injured both your ankles in accidents, right?
Exactly.
And having spent some time recovering from surgery on those on both ankles. And of course, the moment you're bending or sitting or making any kind of movement, really, you're using those ankle joints. And I would think for someone who's had ankle injuries and they're going to then take on this relatively strenuous occupation of photography, that's a special challenge.
It's a special challenge, and I needed to pay strict attention. There's just no end to the amount of help you can get by freeing up your body as you move. And in my case, it's just absolutely crucial. Another aspect, which I was just thinking, is that I had to carry equipment on my back as I was walking up and down hills to get to the projects where I was photographing. And learning to carry the pack on your back and not let that pull you down into your legs is so helpful because I'm not strong. And it's important that I use myself optimally so that I can maintain that endurance, as I'm carrying equipment and then still being able to shoot at the end of carrying the equipment.
And here's a thought that just crossed my mind. It would seem to me that you as a photographer are kind of entering into an environment where you're the outsider or you're the stranger, and if you're tense, physically tense in your body, that might make that acceptance and integration a little trickier for you, don't you think?
Oh, that's a really good point. Especially here I am. I was what they call a Muzungu. I was a foreigner. So I come in and people don't know me. They need to be comfortable with me. So I came in to this one group and they were doing a dance class. So I actually took their dance class with them a bit. And I'm looking at these people through my lens and but they seeing me as a person when my camera's not up on my face. So the more comfortable I am, the more comfortable I am in my body, which makes me more comfortable with myself, less fearful myself of meeting new people and so forth. The more comfortable they are, and children especially read that right away.
Children see everything.
They absolutely do.
They really do. They may not be able to consciously articulate, oh, she seemed a little tight in her neck or whatever,
Right.
but they get it right away.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And not only that, they imitate you.
They imitate you,
So
yeah.
when they're trying to learn, we need to be really good models for them. And this is important wherever children you meet, because you don't know what they're going to pick up from you and what they will aspire to in the future. I have some children who are still emailing me from Rwanda. And these can be lifelong changes for them when they encounter someone, especially if there's somebody really unusual coming into their town. I went into Kigali, which is a major city, but at the same time, People, it's like a small village, the way people are living on dirt roads, and people who are not educated, and they, so an educated person comes and is paying attention to them, is dancing, is photographing, bringing them technology they've never seen before. And I'm inspiring them, and I need to be careful that I am inspiring them to something, you know, really worthwhile.
They're going to remember you for a long time.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned the imitation that particularly children, of course, are great imitators, and they tend to imitate whoever's around them that they're paying attention to. One of the things that F. Matthias Alexander, who is the developer of the Alexander technique, mentions in one of his books. It's in connection with he's talking he's writing maybe 100 years ago, and he's talking about parents who want to find a nanny for their child, and he says, you know, most people they just go for the cheapest nanny available, right? And they don't consider that that person that's going to be hanging around their kids many hours a day is going to be imitated by their kids. And so they ought to be looking for someone that has an easy bearing, you know, something that you would want your kids to imitate. And he makes the further point that it's not just that kids imitate people around them, but they have an uncanny ability to go for the most bizarre to imitate. They will find they will pick up the what if you have one really far out habit of movement or tension or whatever, that's what they're going to latch on to.
That's a
So, you know, you really it's a big responsibility hanging out with kids in that respect, especially as you did as this unique outsider with all the special equipment and so on.
Exactly. Now I want to bring another aspect of photography, sort of turning it around, which is that photography is a great tool for people to see themselves. And the amazing things with the photography is that people with digital is that you can see yourself right away. So these children were seeing themselves through my work. And that students of the Alexander technique often bring me photos of themselves when they were children or when they were adults, and they say, "Oh my God, look at this. Look how slumped I am." So they actually can see at least a moment frozen in time how they're moving. So it's interesting how photography itself can be a tool for Alexander technique study as well as a re reveal how the Alexander technique practitioner is actually moving themselves, sort of both.
Absolutely, yeah. Jano, is there anything else you want to add before we come to an end?
Just that I feel that as I'm continuing to learn photography, I'm continuing to learn how I will be applying Alexander technique to to photography as I go. Because the new challenges of working at a computer for long hours with, you know, Photoshop and so forth,
Oh,
and,
of course,
you know,
yeah.
that and new equipment, like I'm hoping one day to acquire an even larger camera that the camera itself weighs about 6 pounds, and the lens I want to use weighs an additional 5 pounds, and then I have to use, you know, equipment with that. So I'll just have to keep practicing and learning the principles of the Alexander technique as it relates to photography as I go along.
So part, I hadn't really thought of what you just said, that part of being a photographer is working at a computer, right?
Absolutely. All photographers now in this digital age must spend more time at the computer than they do at the camera.
And of course, it's the subject of another conversation, but computers, working at a computer has its own issues for people. I think that's kind of generally understood these days, that computers can do terrible things to your posture and coordination if you're not careful in how you look after yourself.
Exactly. And there's one other aspect. I'll bring this up. I'm sure you're doing other podcasts about this. But as I age, my vision is changing. And that makes photography and working at the computer challenging also. So in addition to being pulled in by the equipment, the need to see detail for photo editing and for taking pictures becomes a challenge. So it's important that everyone pay attention to how they're using their vision, how they use their eyes, and how they tend to tighten their neck when they see, which actually this makes seeing more difficult. So it's another aspect they need to pay attention to.
And a good time to start that process is before you arrive at old age, so that
Yes.
your arrival there is a smooth and pleasant one.
Exactly.
Well, Jano, thank you so much for being on the show. My guest today has been Jano Cohen, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Philadelphia. If anything we've talked about intrigues you and you want to explore having lessons in the technique, you can contact her through her website. We'll put a link to it by the interview. If you live anywhere else in the world, we'll put a link to a site where you can learn more about the technique if you are interested. And you can also locate on that site a teacher wherever you happen to be. Jano, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Robert. It's been a pleasure.